You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with our legal corner, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, once again, we are visiting with our legal corner expert, Mr. Michael Rubenstein, the owner of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury practice serving clients throughout Los Angeles and Orange counties. Prior to graduating Loyola Law School, Michael was ordained as a rabbi by a panel of prominent international rabbis. He uses his unique background as a rabbi and lawyer to help successfully represent his clients in a variety of personal injury matters. Today, we will be discussing the topic of understanding California hit and run cases and what to expect in your personal injury case if the need arises. Mr. Rubenstein, a pleasure to have you back with us here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me again, Eric. It's great to be back.
You bet, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you once again. So, Michael, we've all heard the term hit and run. Can you explain the term for the benefit of our listeners?
Sure. A hit and run is when a driver of a vehicle collides with something and then flees the scene without giving his or her personal and insurance information. That can be a parked car, another car that's driving, property such as a telephone pole or structure, as well as a bicyclist or pedestrian. So anytime a vehicle hits something, that driver is obligated to pull over, exchange information, that kind of thing.
And you mentioned some alarming statistics regarding hit-and-run automobile collisions in Los Angeles. Can you tell our listeners more about these?
According to the Los Angeles Police Department, the LAPD, there are about 20,000 hit-and-runs per year in the city of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a big city, but 20,000 is a significant number. The majority of those hit and runs are property damage cases only. Unfortunately, though, almost every week in the news we read about tragic stories where someone is killed or horribly injured in a hit and run somewhere in the city of Los Angeles. The good news, though, is that hit and runs across the state of California are down this year. That's according to the Los Angeles Times, which I discussed recently on my website blog. But we've still got quite a ways to go to stopping this epidemic of hit and runs in Los Angeles. California actually recently passed a temporary license plate law. So when people buy a new car or lease a new car, the dealership is going to have to install temporary license plates. Unfortunately, that law is not going to go into effect till next year. The purpose of the law is to try to stem the tide of hit and runs. It's a serious problem here throughout the state of California. We're hoping those numbers continue to go down.
And of course, you want them to go down, but they need to go down. That's some outstanding numbers there. Now, walk us through it, Michael. Someone's involved in a hit and run. What do they do next?
So I'll give some general guidelines with the caveat that anybody should discuss their particular case with an attorney. This is not obviously intended as legal advice, but these are just general guidelines that I've found are helpful. The first thing is if somebody's in an accident, they should call 911. The law requires drivers to pull over and exchange information after an accident. Once you pull over, if someone sees the other driver fleeing, law enforcement needs to be notified because a hit and run is against the law. So if a person calls 911, the emergency dispatch will likely ask for as much information as the victim's able to give. Did the person catch the color, make, and model of the car, any portion of the offending car's license plate, a description of the driver, are there any witnesses? So the purpose is to get as much information to try to create a record of the hit and run. The next thing that's important is that a police report should be filed. Once the dust settles, a hit and run victim should visit the local police station to file a hit-and-run police report, and that's actually a very important step especially if a hit and run, if someone's injured in a hit and run and that person wants to present what's known as an uninsured motorist claim, and I'll discuss that a little bit more. And California law actually requires a police report to be filed within 24 hours after a hit and run collision. And finally, anybody who's in a hit and run, it's a good idea to discuss the case with an attorney just to make sure their legal rights are protected.
Most helpful information in all regards. As always, today we are speaking with, once again, Mr. Michael Rubenstein, the owner and founder of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California here, again on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, continuing on, Mr. Rubenstein, if someone's injured in a hit-and-run case, can they still recover for their injuries and pain and suffering?
That's a great question, Eric. I alluded to it in the previous question. Your question illustrates how crucial it is for drivers in California to maintain what's known as uninsured motorist coverage. This form of insurance coverage must be offered to drivers. The law requires insurance companies to offer it. Unfortunately, too many people don't understand it and don't investigate the proper coverage amounts that they should be maintaining. So the way it works is, if a person has uninsured motorist coverage, they're paying for that unique protection every month or whenever they make their auto insurance premium payments. And the purpose of it is it takes the place of the driver who hit the person. So uninsured motorist coverage can cover medical expenses and pain and suffering. The caveat is that the driver has to have a sufficient amount of uninsured motorist coverage. For example, I recently handled a case where a driver was hit in a hit and run, and so we were not able to locate the offending driver. We did, however, present an uninsured motorist claim through my client's own insurance. The problem was that he had a very minimum amount. California, the minimum amount of insurance coverage is $15,000. That amount has been the law since the 1970s, and as you can imagine, Eric, medical costs have skyrocketed in the past 40, 50 years. So although it's still the law to maintain $15,000 minimum, in a typical car collision, that's not enough. So in my client's case, we tried to do the best we could with him, understanding that he had the minimum uninsured motorist coverage. Every person's situation is unique, so it's vital for a person to discuss their needs with their insurance agent, or with an attorney. Uninsured motorist coverage also applies if a person doesn't have enough insurance to pay for the property damage that was caused. For example, if driver A hits driver B and driver A does not have enough insurance to cover driver B's injuries, driver B can present an uninsured motorist claim to his own insurance for the excess, as long as driver B has more uninsured coverage than driver A had. I know it's a little bit confusing with the numbers, but I'll give an example. If driver A has $15,000 in insurance and hits driver B, and driver B has $50,000 in medical bills, that's 5-0, driver B would collect the first $15,000 from driver A's insurance. Driver B would then present an underinsured motorist claim with his own insurance for the excess. The only way that's possible, though, is if driver B has more insurance than driver A, so he has to have more than $15,000. So it can be really complicated, as you can tell. That's why these cases, it's important to discuss the case with an attorney familiar with the various caveats of uninsured motorist coverage. One more thing I'll tell you, Eric, is that uninsured motorist coverage applies if there's a hit and run with a pedestrian or a bicyclist also. So if somebody's riding their bicycle and unfortunately is injured in a hit and run, which I've seen many times, that bicyclist can recover for his or her pain and suffering and medical costs and injuries through his or her own auto insurance policy as long as they have uninsured motorist coverage. So a lot of people don't know that when you're on your bicycle, if you're, at least in California, if you're injured in a hit and run, you can present a claim to your own auto insurance, if provided that you have the proper uninsured motorist coverage.
And that is some great information right there, and you didn't even cut any corners in your response. Certainly appreciate that. Now, how might a hit and run case differ from a typical automobile collision case?
Well, when a hit and run victim pursues an uninsured motorist case, it's known in the insurance world as first party. So I'll give another example. In a typical car crash in California, let's say car A rear ends car B, car B's driver presents a claim to car A's insurance for his bodily injuries. That's known as third party. So in a third party case, car A's insurance will be suspicious or downplay, if you will, the driver of car B's injuries. That's just the nature of the beast. In a hit-and-run case involving uninsured motorist coverage, it's essentially the driver of car A recovering for pain and suffering and injuries from his or her own insurance company. So it's known as first party because the claimant is dealing with his own insurance company, and because the insurance company is dealing with its paying customer, the insurance company has strict fiduciary duties to its insured driver. That driver pays for that particular form of insurance protection, and as a paying customer, the insurance company must treat its own driver fairly and can't play the kind of games insurance companies are known to play. That doesn't mean they won't try to, but as a general rule, they have much stricter standards in a first-party uninsured motorist case. Another key difference, these cases cannot be litigated in court. They have to be arbitrated in front of what's known as an arbitrator. The point of arbitration is to offer a swift evidentiary hearing and resolution to the matter when there's a disagreement between the insurance company and their insured driver. It's important to hire an attorney familiar with the rules and requirements of California uninsured motorist arbitrations. Most cases settle before actual arbitration, but like I said, it's important to have an attorney familiar with these unique rules and regulations.
Michael, if you would, tell our listeners where they can learn more about Los Angeles hit-and-run issues.
I frequently discuss uninsured and underinsured motorist issues on my Tort Talk blog, available at rabbilawyer.com. That's RABBILAWYER.com. I encourage your listeners to reach out if they have questions about this very important issue here in California.
Well, Mr. Rubenstein, it's always our pleasure to have you each and every time, always informative and very helpful. And we certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Eric.
And you're most welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Michael Rubenstein, the owner and founder of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California. You can learn more by visiting his website and reading his daily Tort Talk blog at rabbilawyer.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Rabbi Lawyer, Facebook at Rabbi Lawyer, and now on Instagram, hashtag Rabbi Lawyer. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.